Tonight's shiur is in response to a specific shaila that I received a little while ago. It's also a little bit relevant as we get a little bit closer to Hanukkah, so we'll put a piece of the puzzle together and try to deal with the particular shaila. So the person who asked me the shaila, as I guess we could call it, the B'nai Shurim / Orah Torah shaila, because the individual was someone from my shul in Orah Torah, but they were supposed to be Friday night on this, I guess we call this side of town, the B'nai Shurim area. And they wanted to know about Hadlokas Neiros. So they were assuming that they were going to light Shabbos candles in their home, which is another loaded question of itself, but they were going to light Shabbos candles in their house, and then they were going to walk to B'nai Shurim for whatever events they were going to. The question that they posed to me was, it's a nice walk. I don't remember exactly what the weather was like that particular evening. And they wanted to know, Rabbi, can I light candles al hatnai with a condition and not accept Shabbos and then go ahead and drive? And then Shabbos will start. That's pretty much the question was. Does the halacha recognize that concept of we're going to light candles and not quite begin Shabbos? Obviously, when Shabbos literally begins, like, you know, normal the melacha. But what is the status of that notion of Kabbalah Shabbos, Lachas Neiros, and it's tonight all rolled into one?
People do that
Erev Yom Kippur. Well, okay, that's exactly what some of the things we're going to talk about. So we got a long way to go until we get to Yom Kippur. We're trying to talk about this Shabbos and Shabbos Hanukkah. So the sugya actually begins. So this is all going to try to talk about all the parameters of this question. So this sugya actually begins in the sugyas of Hanukkah. It starts in the first of the Maamar Komos. It's a Gemara Masechta Shabbos, and that's from Gimel Mibayis. The Gemara tells us the following: I'm a Rava. Pshitali, it is obvious to me, says Rava, ner beso v'ner Hanukkah, ner beso adif, mishum shalom beso. The simple reading of the Gemara is that if a person doesn't have enough funds to buy Shabbos candles, ner beso, and Hanukkah candles, so you have to choose which mitzvah in a sense is more important. So, perhaps one could have argued Hanukkah candles, Hanukkah is once a year, and Hanukkah is Pesumei Nisan, Hanukkah has a lot of good, important reasons to it, but still, Achav Bichein Rava says, it's pshit that is obvious to me that Ner Beiso comes first. Shabbos candles takes precedence. Why is that? Shum Shalom Beiso. The Shabbos candles are instituted first and foremost to ensure that there's Shalom Bayis in the house. The reason, very, very simple, Rashi says, it's a very practical reason in the good old days, good or not, but in the old days, when it was dark in the house, if you didn't have candles, they literally bumped into each other. It says, Rashi, if you bump into the table and you bump into your wife, it's going to be hard to foster Shalom Bayis based on that. So to make sure everyone's in a good, happy mood, you should have candles in the house. Shalom Bayis. It says the Gemara, Shalom Bayis is so important that it overrides the mitzvah of Neiros Hanukkah, it overrides Pesumei Nisan. I remember posing a question to Rabbi Willig, I think exactly when it was. It was 28 years ago plus, because we just celebrated our 28th anniversary. So I remember when we were setting a date for our wedding. So the question was, should we get married during Hanukkah? It worked out conveniently that getting married in Hanukkah would have worked out nicely for everybody's schedules. So I asked him, is that really the right thing to do? He said, after all, you know, it's going to inconvenience some people. Comes the questions of lighting candles, and people are going to light later, and l'chatchila try to light. It's not. You know, all the complications of Neiros Hanukkah, maybe it's better that we shouldn't get married on Hanukkah. So when I posed him that question, so he said to me, he quoted this Gemara, and he says, the Gemara says that Ner Beiso and Neiros Hanukkah, so Ner Beiso comes first. He says, Kavachomer, to build a bias. I said, if you want to get married before Hanukkah, he's not going to argue with me. But if I'm going to tell him that, if we don't get married on Hanukkah, we get married a week later, he said, no, but you don't delay getting married just so people can have convenience laying Neiros Hanukkah. They'll figure out when to light Neiros Hanukkah. Don't worry about it. Ner Beiso comes first. So the bottom line is the Gemara says, if you don't have enough money to pay for both, so you buy Shabbos candles and you forgo the Hanukkah candles. So comes the Ran in the second of the Maamar Komos. And the Ran has the following comment, the name of the Ramban. Mashbali, the afwa hakdim magdimin nerbeso the shel Hanukkah. Says the Ramban, although the Gemara is talking about the person who doesn't have enough money to buy both, says the Ramban, when a person Baruch Hashem has enough money for both, he's asking a different question. Not one at the expense of the other, but rather which comes first. What should the order be on Shabbos Hanukkah? Should we light the Shabbos candles first or the Hanukkah candles first? So says the Ramban, it's obvious to him, it may not be obvious to us, but says the Ramban, it's obvious that Shabbos candles come first. Why is that? We have two rules that govern kedima mitzvahs. Whenever I have two mitzvahs to do, so there are two questions we have to ask ourselves. Which mitzvah is the more regular mitzvah, the tadir? And which mitzvah is the more makudra? Which is the higher level of mitzvah? The Gemara has a discussion with Sechez Vachim. What if you have contradictions in the answers to that question? I have two mitzvahs. One is more tadir, and one is a higher level mitzvah. What do you do? That's the whole sugya in the Gemara. But if mitzvah A has both milas, both advantages over mitzvah B, it's tadir and it's makudash, so that of course it comes first. So says the Ramban, Neir Shabbos is more tadir. You light Shabbos candles every Friday night, kind of once a week, well, one week a year. Shabbos candles is more kadosh because of shalom bayis. So therefore, in terms of the hierarchy of mitzvahs, it's obvious, says the Ramban, Shabbos candles come before chag candles, not just in terms of who doesn't have enough money, but in simply in terms of the correct order. However, avara isi lebahalachas zal shomer v'heicha dekaboy adluke nechanek v'neshabbos bereisha marik techanek of other marik shel Shabbos. So the Ramban says that even though that's what I think, but I saw the sefer Baal Halachas Gedolos. Baal Halachas Gedolos was the sefer that was written in the period of the Gaonim. So we're talking about a couple of hundred years before the Ramban. I'm weary to say who wrote the sefer because we're not quite sure. There's the Machlokes and Rishon, the two different traditions, which person in the period of the Gaonim exactly wrote it. But it definitely is a rather old sefer, predated Rashi, predated the Ramban for by centuries. So says the Ramban that I saw in the Baal Halachas Gedolos, who says, V'heichet ha-kaboy ba-duk in ha-chanek of ha-shabbos, bereishim ha-dik ha-chanek, kodem ha-shabbos. Baalos Gedolos said that first you light chanek candles and then Shabbos candles, the opposite of what the Ramban's arguing. The e-adlik the Shabbos bereisha, it's leila luk in ha-chanek. Says the Baalos Gedolos, you can't light Shabbos candles first, because if you light Shabbos candles first, then you would just put a couple Shabbos. You just accepted Shabbos, and you can't light chanek candles. And therefore, you have no choice. You have to, in a sense, reverse the order. Chanukah candles before Shabbos candles. So the Ramban was not happy with that psak, and he comes down quite strong on him. He says, "V'kamu dochuk zahatam." Ramban says, "What a difficult reason! What a shver shita! You know why it's so shver?" The Ramban, I cut off the three dots. But if you continue on, the Ramban explains, "What does lighting Shabbos candles have to do with being mekabel Shabbos?" That's the Ramban's question. He says, "Why is lighting Shabbos candles any more of a kabbal Shabbos than putting the chillin top to cook? Why is it more than vacuuming the carpet? It's a preparation for Shabbos. Who said that lighting Shabbos candles is the Kabbalah Shabbos? Who said? The Baal Halachas Gedolos said it. But the Ramban said, I never heard of such a thing. So we have two different opinions now about Shabbos Chanukah, which comes first. But the truth is that this machlokes has nothing to do with Shabbos Chanukah. This has to do with every Shabbos of the year. Is the lighting of Shabbos candles per se constitute a Kabbalah Sayyom, Kabbalah Shabbos, and therefore Malach cannot be done afterwards? Or that concept just doesn't exist? Literally, the Baal Halachas Gedolos thought of it. It doesn't appear in the Gemara anywhere. What is the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch, in the third of the Mamakom, it's Inuch HaShabbos, now not Inuch HaShanuk, and Shulchan Aruch quotes the different opinions. The Shulchan Aruch writes, in the third of the Mamakom, the Baal Halachas Gedolos quotes the Baal Halachas Gedolos, Kevan Jehidlik Ne'er Shal Shabbos, Chal of Shabbos Vanessa Malacha. Once the person lights the Shabbos candles, Shabbos has begun for him, even though it's not yet Shkia, the sun hasn't set yet. That's a Kabbalah Shabbos. And once you Mekabel Shabbos, the game's over, you can't do any more Malacha. The Alpi Zeh says, based on this opinion, Nogos Ktsas Nashim, She'acha She'birchu V'edlik Vaneiros, Mashlichos La'aretz HaPesila She'biyodon She'nikaba V'ein Mechabel Sa. There are some who have the practice that after they light the Shabbos candles, they drop the match down, whatever the match, whatever you use to light the candles, they drop down, they don't blow it out. They just simply put it out and let it go out by itself. Why is that? Because they're concerned that once we light the candles, that's already a Kabbalah Shabbos, so therefore we don't want to do any melacha. So such a custom existed that the Shulchan Aruch makes mention to. The Yesh Omer, then the Shulchan Aruch continues in the second line, She'masta kodem she'edlika she'en mekabel Shabbos at yom echazen baruch hu mo'ed. He quotes one opinion in Rishonim that says that if you want to make a t'nai, if you want to make a condition and say, I personally don't want to be Mekabel Shabbos, do whatever you want. Nobody forced you to be Mekabel Shabbos. Nobody told you you have to light the candles X time. You chose to be Mekabel Shabbos early. If you choose not to be Mekabel Shabbos early, you could opt out of it. And there are those who say, you can't make such a t'nai. That t'nai doesn't exist. Hadlokas Neiros is an objective Kabbalah Shabbos. It doesn't matter what you personally think about it. So here, the Shulchan Aruch is quoting two opinions within the view of the Baal Halachas Gedolos, assuming that primarily lighting Shabbos candles is an act of Kabbalah Shabbos, which is far from agreed upon by everybody, particularly the Ramban. Within the view of the Baal Lachs Gedolos, we have a further breakdown. Does the concept, does that idea of making it tonight have any legitimacy or not? And then the Shulchan Aruch quotes. Then the next opinion appears. There are some who say that the whole Baal Lachs Gedolos is not correct, i.e. the Ramban. That lighting Shabbos candles is not a Kabbalah altogether. The whole discussion of making it tonight is a moot discussion because the lighting of the candles is meaningless. It's a mitzvah to light candles, but it's not necessarily a Kabbalah Shabbos. So when is Kabbalah Shabbos? Elabit feels Arvis. When you start davening Ma'ariv, that's when Kabbalah Shabbos starts. Shekevich Omer Chazen Baruchu, a cold portion, Mimalachton. Once you start that first Baruchu of Ma'ariv, again, there's assuming that you're davening before dark. If you're davening after Shkia, once the sun sets, then for sure it's Shabbos. Or at least for sure, Misafikat Shabbos, whatever that statement means. But before it gets dark, once you daven Ma'ariv, then again, you can't daven Ma'ariv and then come back and start doing Malachon. It's out of the question. That the Gemara says explicitly doesn't work. Udidon, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kevich is Chilum is Mashil Yom HaShabbos, Abikim Baruchu Lididhu. In the days of the Mishonim, they did not say Mishil Yom HaShabbos. In the days of the Mishonim, Ma'ariv started with Baruch Hu. For that matter, the entire Kabbalah Shabbos that we have did not exist in the days of the Mishonim. The Kabbalah Shabbos was started much, much, much later in the days, actually, of the Shulchan Aruch, in the period of Tzfas, the period of the Ari HaKadosh, Shulchan Kavitz. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch makes mention of the fact that if you live in a time, in a place where nobody says the Mishonim, nobody says any of that stuff, so then Shabbos begins when you daven Ma'ariv, when you start with Baruch Hu. If you live in communities like we do, where we have a little bit of a Kabbalah Shabbos before, so whatever point in time is considered to be the demarcation is Mishil Yom Shabbos. Some want to argue maybe the Chadodi is the different opinions in the details. But comes the Rambah and says, the Aminug Sha'osa Isha Hamad Lekes B'Kabbalah Shabbos B'Hadlocha Imlo Shehis Tatchila. Says the Rambah, what's our custom? The Rambah is Ashkenazi. What's the Ashkenazi custom? So says the Rambah that the woman herself who lights the Shabbos candles, she is Mekabela Shabbos Badlok. We follow the view of the Baal Lachs Gedolos that is considered to be a Hadlokah, that is considered to be a Kabbalah, unless she made it Tanai. So a Tanai is acceptable. A few Tanai believe Sagi. Then the Rambam says, even a Tanai in one's heart is acceptable. You don't have to even verbalize the Tanai. As long as you thought that you planned not the Kabbalah Shabbos, that would be acceptable. But then the Rambam qualifies this custom and says, he says that this whole discussion is for the woman who lit the candles. What about her husband, the children, other people who didn't actually light the candles? So then that's not considered to be a Kabbalah Shabbos for the entire B'nai Abayis. It's each man, each woman, each child for themselves in terms of Kabbalah Shabbos. So basically, we have across the gamut of different possibilities. We have the Ramban who denied the whole story. The Ramban said, what in the world does Kabbalah Shabbos and Halakas Neiros have to do with one another? Halakas Neiros is simply a preparation. It's simply like putting the children up to cook. It's not a Kabbalah rule. Within the world of the Baal Lachs Gedolos, you have different extremes. You have some who say it's a Kabbalah Shabbos and it's an objective Kabbalah Shabbos can never be undone. Even all the Tanaim in the world cannot avoid it from being a Kabbalah Shabbos. And the more lenient view is that no, the Tanai does work. And even if there was no Tanai said, that only obligates the woman herself. It doesn't impact on the rest of the B'nai Abayis. Oh, very good. Excellent. The question is, what if anything has to be done to accept Shabbos? Is one even, forget about a woman. But oh, so the question is one obligated to be Makabel Shabbos? Is that notion even exists in Halacha? Shabbos begins when Shabbos starts, for sure. Is there an idea of starting early? So that's part of a general question. Is there a mitzvah Tosefa Shabbos? That was a big machlokas in the Gemara, in the Rishonim. Is there even such a mitzvah? So according to those opinions that maintain that there is a mitzvah, positive mitzvah to be Makabel Shabbos, then the question is, we have to think of something. What in the world is this woman going to do to be Makabel Shabbos, if anything? According to many opinions, there is no formal mitzvah. Shabbos starts when it starts. You want, the Gemara says in Brachas, if you choose to be Makabel Shabbos, then you can't do Malachi after that Kabbalah. But it's not clear in the Gemara that one is actually obligated to do so.
If the Ramban says that he doesn't believe this connection, would he say you would not make a bracha when you light candles?
No, you make a bracha. It's a mitzvah. It's a takanas or chavim to light candles. Everybody agrees that you're required to light Shabbos candles. That's a mitzvah of the Rabbanan instituted because of Shalom Bayis and Kavod and Onim, the whole array of different reasons. And we assume that Lachi recite a bracha on the Bokas Neiros. It's more of a mitzvah than putting up the shul. You don't make a bracha when you put up the shul. So it is a formal mitzvah of Bokas Neiros. But the Ramban broke that equation. He said that bridge, that connection, that the Malachus Gadol was thought that therefore it is considered to be an act of Kabbalah Shabbos. Ramban said he never heard of that idea. That idea doesn't exist.
Do women still follow that minhag of not putting out the candle before after they light the candles?
I don't know. Yeah, kind of
but you have to say
the
Mishnah, I guess, right? You have to say it to yourself.
Right. So I think the reason why I'm not sure that the women are kept about that today is because we assume that the Kabbalah doesn't really start till after the bracha. Because especially Ashkenazi practice is that they light first and then recite the bracha afterwards. So we're assuming that for those couple of seconds afterwards, they still allow the...
So we have to make it tonight.
I think that's part of the minhag. I think that the minhag is the standard Ashkenazi practice is to assume that.
I have to say the bracha right after.
It should be right.
I can't do anything.
That's right, right, right. You were talking correctly. That is correct. Because the poskim say, because book is brachos, we shouldn't have a hefsek. We know that when it comes to brachas and mitzvahs, let's say, for example, we make a bracha, the shmo kol shofar, so we don't start, you know, walking around shul after that. We start blowing right away. We say al mikra megillah, we read the megillah right away. So there are some mitzvahs that, for technical reasons, we have to flip the bracha. One of them being halachos neir shabbos, the Ashkenazi custom is that we flip the order. So the poskim say, but you're still not supposed to be mafsik. You're not supposed to talk. It's not really right. Sometimes a woman lights candles, then she's doing the last minute touch-ups in the house. It's not really right. The more correct thing to do is to recite the bracha right away. It's similar to like the Tilas Yadayim, that for technical reasons, we wash our hands first. Most Ashkenazim have the practice. We pour the water on our hands first, and then we recite the bracha afterwards. That's the whole question why we should or should not be doing that. But bottom line is that's what most of us do. So the poskim say one's not supposed to talk. There's a little bit of a misconception. People think, I haven't made the bracha yet, so I can still talk. That's not true. It's probably more of a problem in halacha to talk between the washing and the bracha than it is after the bracha. Between the bracha and hamotzi, it's probably not so terrible. We're not encouraging it, but it's probably not so terrible. I remember when one of my kids were little, so they came from school one day, and they told us that someone in the class said that the minhag in our family is that we talk after we wash until we make the bracha. That's the minhag in our family. So that always puts a parent in a little bit of a tricky situation. On the one hand, you don't want to condone something that's not really correct of the halacha. On the other hand, you know, you don't want the kid to come to school the next day saying that my Abba said that what you're doing is the bracha of a talmud. So you got to walk it gently.
It sounds like you're still making it tonight to put out the match, to put out the candle. So once you're making it tonight anyway, why don't you say the bracha first?
Right. So right. So the truth is that the Sfarim should do. Sfarim, I think most of the Sfarim do that, but they make the bracha first. So the Ashkenazim walk that tightrope that we're not really, really making the Kabbalah. That when we say that the halakas there is the Kabbalah, we're assuming it's the halakas there is with the bracha, the whole 9 yards together. That's what's considered to be the Kabbalah. That's what's become our custom.
When you grew up in Iraq, during the summer, during the period of the Shabbos. My culture seems to say we light candles 20 minutes after we stop dabbing in the mitzvah. Why? Because it takes roughly 20 minutes to get the news
from
the Shabbos. So that's what I was trying to coordinate during the summer, the Kabbalah Shabbos for the women.
Right. There were some poskim who wanted to coordinate it. They felt that we should try to get as close as possible. The men's Kabbalah, the women's Kabbalah. Other poskim weren't so. I don't know. I can tell you, in 36 you have to put in Bridgerfield. We're not so much, but enough. Even though we're in the same building, I said that I could be done with my room. It was an interesting thing. The Gemara has a famous story. Instead of Shabbos, the Gemara says when you come home from shul on Friday night. So we come home, the Malachim escort you, and they see the candle. So it's a big simon. It's a beautiful thing. So Rabbi Willig told us years ago that whenever he would daven early Shabbos, so he would always be mocked, but he let his wife light whenever she was ready to light, but he wouldn't walk into the house until the candles were lit. He was always coordinated to make sure the candles were lit because he felt like it's like an embarrassment to the Malachim. You're going to walk into the house and then your wife's still in the shower. She's still clean. That doesn't look right. So he would always wait outside whenever she was ready. So I remember when we set up the shul in our house, so I never knew where the draw the line in terms of that is, because my house and shul's house, it's still, at least for now, for the next few months, it's still one entity. So I try over the years not to walk into the house part of the house. Those are the land of my shul. So when it's in the summer months or something, if I dab in my early, so I'll finish dabbing my Ivan. I know my wife needs a few more minutes. I'll sit and learn. I've said I'll figure out what to do to keep myself busy. Then one of my kids comes and says, okay, you may have been ready. Now the coast is clear, the ink comes in. But that's more of a sensitivity rather than a pure halacha. So the bottom line is that it sounds like the Ikra Din, there are more sanctioning it tonight. Ramos okay with this tonight. So says the Mishnah Berurah not so fast. Mishnah Berurah in the fourth of the Ramakama says, Shitas de Tchila, the Ein Lahasnos Kiyim Litzorech. Says the Mishnah Berurah not as quick as the Ramos said. He quotes from the later Acharonim, but it's probably better not to make it tonight if you don't have to, unless there's a real need. There are a lot of Rishonim will say that it tonight just doesn't make any sense. It's not really applicable. It doesn't accomplish anything. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah shies away from making it tonight unless there's a tzorech. And of course, that term tzorech is always a very, very difficult term to define. What's considered to be a tzorech? So usually when people ask me this question, I try to gauge how much the tzorech is. I think that you made reference to the Yom Kippur story. That's usually when it comes up the most. Because, you know, many women don't go up the shul on a regular Friday night. Everyone trusts to come in Yom Kippur. So very often you get that question. Can I light the Yom Kippur candles and make it tonight? And then the husband will drive to shul together. So I usually ask the person when they ask me, how far do you live? And how difficult is it for you to walk? So obviously it'd be a different answer. Have a young, healthy, strong person who lives 3 blocks from the shul, so I don't think that's the right thing to do in Yom Kippur or any other Shabbos for that matter. A person has a little more difficulty walking. It's pouring rain, other kinds of factors. And then yesh more makom lahakol. So it's a very, very tough call. So when this woman called me a couple of weeks ago and asked me, I want to light candles in the Ohr Torah area, and then I want to walk to Bnei Shurim. So how am I going to gauge that? I can tell you how long it takes to walk approximately. Am I going to call that a tzorech gadol? Is that enough with tzorech that would sanction, that the Mishnah would sanction the Sana? So I told the woman the following. I said, I quote her a psak from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Shlomo Zalman was asked about if a person wants to daven by the Kosel Friday night, but the person lives, you know, they don't live in the old city, they live a little bit further away. They want to light candles, make it tonight, and hop into a cab to go get to the Kosel to daven Ma'ariv. So the yes of Shlomo Zalman, does he think that's enough mitzorech to sanction making it tonight? And Shlomo Zalman said no. He says he doesn't think that's enough mitzorech. Shlomo Zalman said, down by the custom. So I said to the person, you know, and no one in Bnei Shur should take this as an insult. I said, Bnei Shur is a very chashuv place. Kosel, it's not. I said, so Madach of Shlomo Zalman said that you can't even down by the Kosel, you can't make it tonight. So to walk from our Torah to Bnei Shur, unless there's some other mitigating emergency circumstances, I think you should walk the extra 15, 20 minutes. I don't think that it would be justified. The person who asked Shaila was a young woman, a healthy woman, and the weather wasn't so bad. So I think that it would be better not to make it tonight. Under other circumstances, I would change the psak, depending on the case by case.
In case you said yes to it, Tzorech, what would you do on Yom Tov if there's a Shafiyan?
Oh, that's the next part of it. I couldn't have planned to do better for the next part of the discussion. So even though there are some Rishonim who say that a Tanai works, and we're not so sure everyone agrees to, and we try to avoid it if we can, but there is definitely a certain circumstance that arises that a Tanai is absolutely out of the question. How do we know this? So the Gemara doesn't say it explicitly, but it is Muvan Me'elav, it is implicit in the entire discussion in the Gemara, that is the case. That is inconceivable that a Tanai should work in the following circumstances. And that's based on a Gemara that appears in the fifth of the Ramakomus, the Gemara says Erevin, it's the end of the third paragraph of Erevin. But the Gemara is discussing saying Shechiyanu on Yom Tov. The Gemara says that the Shal Shur Golem for sure requires Shechiyanu. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Gemara wasn't so sure about because they're not quite the same degree of Simcha as the Shal Shur Golem. The Gemara says, no, Afal Pichein, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur still warrant the Shechiyanu. So the Gemara says, wait a second, when you say Shechiyanu, you're supposed to say Shechiyanu over a cup of wine. Now you don't have to. So, but the Eved, for whatever reason, you forgot to say Shechiyanu, you can say Shechiyanu, feel Bashuk, even in the, you're walking in the street, the Gemara says. But Lechatchil, it's considered to be a more of a cover for the Shechiyanu to say it in the context of Kiddush. Obviously, in Yom Kippur, that's not going to work. So how can you say Shechiyanu? Is there any Eitzah, any possibility to say Shechiyanu over a cup of wine? So comes the Gemara Ne'er and says, Yom Kippur Mechiyavu. How do we do that? If you're going to make Shechiyanu and then drink the wine, came in the Yom Hazman, Kabli Alei. Once you said Shechiyanu, the game's over. You were just Mekabel Yom Kippur. Obviously, you can't drink it. The Hamalei of Yeruber Abba LeRab, Yeruber Abba once asked Rabbi Bavlos, he had asked Rav, when you makabel, when you daven Meir, when you makabel Shabbos, now you can't do malacha. So Hamalei in Badilmi says, yeah, I can't do any more malacha. That's the Gemara Brachas that says, once you're makabel Shabbos, whatever you think of all Shabbos is, whether daven Meir, whether lighting candles, whatever your opinion of all Shabbos is, once you do it, the game's over. So once you said Shechiyanu, the game is over. So the Gemara says, no, maybe liver chalev linche, maybe you should make Shechiyanu on the cup of wine and put the cup of wine down and not drink it. Some of us are we can do that. In order to qualify as a kos shabracha, you have to drink it. So let's fill the yinuka. Maybe we'll give it to a child to drink. No, Ravacha thought of that idea, and the Gemara says we don't follow that because it's bad chida for the child. The child's going to think every year when I was 9, 10, 11, and 12, I was invited up to the Vima to drink the wine on after Kondidre. And now when he turns 13, oh, I forgot, I'm turned by mitzvah, not a good idea. So therefore, Chazal basically did away with the whole Borpi Adolfin and Yom Kippur night, and we just say Shechiyanu without it, and that's of course what we do at Yom Hazeh. As soon as Chol HaMoed resolved, we say a few psukim, then we say Shechiyanu and Shoyim. So in fact, there's a whole question about, forget about Yom Kippur for a second, what about regular Yom Tovim? When is the right time for a woman to actually say Shechiyanu? So from the simple reading of the Gemara, the more correct time would be a kiddush, when she gets kiddush from her husband, so then she should recite Shechiyanu. Stam to say Shechiyanu before that seems to contradict the whole theory of this Gemara. And yet there's an age-old practice that women recite Shechiyanu when they ben shlach on Yom Kippur. Where did that custom come from? So there are two different approaches to that custom. There are those who wanted to abolish the custom. If Yaakov Emden writes that he thought you should change the custom, but the custom was not correct, it's more correct to recite Yotzei Shechiyanu when you light candles, but it's more correct to say Shechiyanu during Kiddush. So if Yaakov Emden said he tried to get the women in the community to change it, and his own wife told him that's not going to work. Her grandmother said Shechiyanu when she ben shlach, that's the way we do it. So what's the rationale for it? So Moshe Sternberg suggests in his Sefer a fascinating insight. He says, what is it that Chazal wanted is to say Shechiyanu during Kiddush? What's the purpose of that? Technically, you could say Shechiyanu anytime during the day. So why high? It has to be dafka during Kiddush. So we know that Yayin always gives chashivas to something. Why do we make Kiddush on wine? Why do we make Abdullah wine? We make Sher Brachas. Everything we do is have a cup of wine to give it chashivas. So the Gemara says that Yayin is considered to be something chashiv, something that's misameach. It's significance to it. Says Rosh Sternbruch, take a poll of the women and ask them, which moment is more meaningful for them personally on Yom Tov? When they're hearing Kiddush, you know, at the beginning of the meal, or when they're benching lach. So I think just about all women will tell you the same thing. Lighting candles, that's their moment. That's their moment with the Kiddush Baruch Hu. So Sternbruch said, for the women, the more chash of time is Halachas Neiros. So it's not that they're violating what the Gemara is saying, not that they're going against Chazal. This whole Chazal was talking about for the men. The men don't like candles. So for the men, Kiddush is the most important time. For the women, Halachas Neiros is the most important time. So whatever it is, whether you follow the minute, you don't follow the minute, the bottom line is that most women today still recite Shechiyanu when they bench lach, including on Yom Kippur. So now we have to make the following observation. Wait a second. How come nobody in the Gemara came up with the idea for Tanai? Why didn't the Gemara say Shechiyanu, make it Tanai, and drink the wine? So what do you see from here? That even if you hold that a Tanai works, yesh gvul b'dover. There's a limit to Tanai. Tanai, you can kvetch, maybe a Luchas Neiros, but let's say a person daven Meir. I'm going to daven Meir for Shabbos. I'm going to sit down and have my whole Suda, ala Tanai. And then an hour later, I'm going to do Malacha. That's ridiculous. So there are certain activities that are just objectively Kabbalah Shabbos. You can't make a Tanai and say, you can't look me in the face and say, I wasn't Makabal. I davened Meir, I said, I took Kiddush, I said, Makadosh Shabbos, but I wasn't really Makabal Shabbos. That's the farce. So apparently the Gemara understood that the recitation of Shechiyanu, the game's over. Once you said Shechiyanu, there is no room for any Tanai going to anybody. And therefore, women should be reminded on Yom Kippur, any woman who has a Pesach that she can drive to shul for Kol Nidrei. So if she wants to light candles on Tanai, she should not say Shechiyanu. If she says Shechiyanu, then she can't drive the car anymore. So she should remember not to say Shechiyanu, and then she should remember to say Shechiyanu and shul with everybody else after Kol Nidrei. There's a lot of confusion about that Shechiyanu. I suspect that there are a lot of women who make the Shechiyanu twice on Yom Kippur. They say it when the bench lech, and they say it again in shul, which is really not correct.
Specific instruction that
you said, right? So that the only problem is that new specific instructions in the new machzorim of the last 20 years, but in the old machzorim, and I think the Birnbaum mach that I grew up on, I don't remember the Shtickel Torah is about the one or two Shechiyanus. It just says congregation recites Shechiyanu with chazan at this point. So the women think part of the congregation, so you have to make that emendation. So that's say those who didn't say Shechiyanu before. So everyone should remember it's one Shechiyanu per yanta per customer. So if you said it when you bench left, then you don't say it in shul. If you didn't say it when you bench left, then you have to remember to say it in shul. So how do we pass it? The whole story ends. So what's our real take? What's the bottom line about is our locus neiros really Kabbalah or not? So we have a little bit of a split that on the one hand we're treating it like a Kabbalah. On the other hand, we're opening up the possibility of a Tanai, and we saw that even those who say it's a Kabbalah, we're making that's only Kabbalah for the person himself, the person herself who lit. It doesn't really impact on the rest of the family members. So we're not really, really, truly committed to the Baal Lost Gedolus' Ashita. And yet, a strange thing occurs in the sixth of the Ramakamas when it comes to Shabbos Chanukah. So based on everything that we're saying right now, what should the halacha be? We had to guess what the halacha should be on Shabbos Chanukah. What should come first? So the Ramban is standing in the corner and screaming, of course Shabbos candles come first. What's the shiloh? What's the question? And we're hesitating and saying, not so simple. Like Shabbos candles, that's a Kabbalah. But let's just go through for a second. Who's lighting the Shabbos candles? The wife is lighting the Shabbos candles. And there are different customs as to who exactly lights the menorahs. In many, many communities, the Mishaburas included, that the husbands lit, the wives did not light their own menorahs. So why do we do as follows? Why don't the women light Shabbos candles first and let the husband light the Chanukah candles? They're going to daven anyway. Many people have the custom of davening before, but they're going to drive to shul anyway. So why all of a sudden, when it comes to Shabbos Chanukah, should we do anything different than that? And yet comes the Shulchan Aruch and writes, the sixth amendment comes, the Erev Shabbos madlik in nechanek etchil nechagach neshabbos. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the minig Yisrael has become universally like the Balach Gedolos. Even though we don't really paskin like him the rest of the year. We make tenoyim and it doesn't apply to the other people in the family. And we're not even sure we accept it all together. Maybe the Rabban's right. One Shabbos year the Balach Gedolos reigns. He won that the minig Yisrael has become that you light Chanukah candles first, and only then do you light Shabbos candles. What is the source for this custom? So, in the seventh of the Maamar comes, Bishabur explains, says the Mishabura, most poskim disagree with this lumdus. He didn't say most disagree with the practice. The practice is done. That's what the practice and attribute has always been. But the lumdus to say that you have to, it's absolutely critical to light Chanukah candles first, because otherwise you're going to be in trouble. We don't really follow that. Guess what? Says the Mishnah Berurah. Probably most poskim hold the Ramban. Probably most poskim don't even accept that halakas there is an absolute kabbalah. The okay im hidlik shel Shabbos for lo kibbal Shabbos machshavta. What if a person goofed and they lit the Shabbos candles first and they weren't mekabel Shabbos? Yochel hadik charkach. So then they can go ahead and light the charkach candles afterwards. The chozer says the Mishnah Berurah beish hamadlik. That's if you have a man who's lighting. Because when men light Shabbos candles, the basic mindset is, it's not a Kabbalah. Forget about Shabbos Chanukah. A regular Friday night, a man who's whatever it is, the wife's out of town, the man's living by himself, he's lighting Shabbos candles. He's not Makabal Shabbos, but any stretch of the imagination. He hasn't even done Mincha yet. He's getting to his car to drive. So that minig that we have, that we equate Kabbalah Shabbos with the Bakas Davis, quasi practice that we have, that's true for women. It's not true for men. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, if the man, by mistake, lit the Shabbos candles first, big deal, let him just light the Chanukah candles. Aval Isha, but what if you have a woman who happens to be lighting Chanukah candles and Shabbos candles? Isha Madlechas, Kevin Shaminik Shemistamar Kabel Shabbos Ladakosa. Since the practice is that women usually do associate lighting Shabbos candles with a Kabbalah, that's the way we try to follow. Im Kein Lo Tavlik Shoshu Chanukah. So now she's Ramshin Pickle. So a woman who was going to light Shabbos candles and Chanukah candles and forgot the order, and she goofed and lit Shabbos candles and she had good Shabbos. Oh my goodness, we got to light Chanukah candles. What do I do? So we cannot let her light anymore because she was really mekabela. So what happened? So she lost the whole mitzvah. What does she do now? Elatoma la'achil la'hadlik. She should ask somebody to be a shaliach to light in her behalf. Because even though she was mekabela Shabbos, the halacha is, if I'm a kabel Shabbos early, if I daven at the early minyan, I could ask somebody to turn the lights for me. I could ask somebody to fix the crackpot. That's not called that's merely Yisrael. That's as long as it's not yet Shabbos. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, for the woman who made a mistake and she lit the Shabbos candles first, the only way to salvage a lot of Chanukah candles is ask somebody else to light. Who she can't make the bracha. As a general rule, when you ask a shaliach to do a mitzvah for you, the shaliach makes the bracha. So if I ask somebody to put up a mezuzah for me, and I ask somebody to do a mitzvah for me, they make the bracha, not me. So if she's asking somebody to light Chanukah candles on her behalf, they make the bracha. Aval, the Mishnah Berurah says, she shouldn't feel too bad. She could still make she'asah nisim and she'achiyonah. Why? Because the halacha is, if I saw somebody else's candles, I could technically make a bracha on that also. We don't usually make that bracha because that bracha is reserved for the person who doesn't have a place to light. If I know that I'm going to light later that night, so then I make the bracha on my own candles. But technically speaking, let's say a person doesn't have a place to light. They walk in the streets and they see a menorah, they can make she'asah nisim, and they can say she'achiyonah on the first night as well. That's an explicit gemara. So the woman who was mekabela Shabbos already, she's like the person who doesn't have a place to live. Since she doesn't have the ability to light Chanukah candles on her own, so she has to do the next best thing. She has to have a shaliach light on her behalf. And then she can, after the fact, say she has an issue. So the bottom line is that how do we poskin about this statement? Kabbalah Shabbos, Lachos Neiros? Very questionable. Not at all simple. So a lot of factors go into this. The Ramban and the Bahag, within the Bahag, whether Tanai works, how serious we are willing to be Mekel, what the Tzorach is necessary in order to be Mekel, whether you have a situation where it's impossible to make a Tanai, such as post the Shechiyonu, that's the deal from the Gemara, And even though this discussion was really not a Hanukkah discussion, it was really all year long discussion, but it has a specific impact in terms of Hanukkah with this strange custom that we have, that although the other Shabbos of the year were not as big believers in the Baal Lachs Gedolah, some of Shabbos Hanukkah, this was his Shabbos, so we observe his practice of, under normal circumstances, lighting the Hanukkah candles first, and then and only then, lighting the Shabbos candles.